We are in Simen Shin Yud Ches. The halacha is of Bishul and Shabbos. We're up to Siftes, and we'll be doing Tes and Yud. Siftes Kli Rishon. Pirish, says the Ramah, HaKli Shemishtamish Bo Ala Eish, the actual pot that you cooked in, Afilu Lacha Sheviru Ma'ala Eish, even though it is no longer on the fire, Mevashel, it has the ability to cook whatever you place in it, Kozman Shayatza Ledespo, so long as the pot itself is hot enough that you couldn't touch it. If you touch it, your finger would be drawn away. Lefikach. So if you empty a pot, you didn't empty the pot. The pot is full. You boiled up water in it. Say you boiled up water on Erev Shabbos. You took the pot off the fire. It is now Shabbos. You would like to go and put some flavoring into this water. The halach is you couldn't. Aser liten letocho tavlin. You could not go and put spices in it. So say a simple case. What happened was someone made a chicken soup, and what they would like to do is add spices to the pot after they took the pot off the fire. He would have thought, well, I'm not cooking on Shabbos. True, the spices are raw. They've never been cooked before. But I can put it in this keli because it's no longer on the fire. Says the Mechaber, you couldn't spice your chicken soup off the fire in the pot because a kli rishon is mevashel. Avol melach, how about salt? So the truth is, there's a machlokis in the Gemara as to the status of salt. There's one opinion in the Gemara that salt actually is takes a lot more heat than anything else to cook, and salt will only cook in a kli rishon al ha'esh. Salt will only cook on the fire. The other opinion says the other way around, that salt cooks easily and will even cook in a keli sheni. So the first day in the Mechaber is going with the idea in the Gemara that salt does not even cook in a kli rishon unless it's on the fire. Avol melach mutar liten letocho kiven sheviro me'ala esh. But salt you can put in it since the pot is not on the fire. That tzricha milcha bishula kavisra detura, because salt needs cooking to the degree that an ox meat would. Now the mechaber is just sidetracking a little bit, and he's saying v'yesh misha oser loses letoch keli ze basur meluach afil hu shel shor. The Gemara makes it sound like salt, oh, that wouldn't cook if there's no fire under the pot, because salt needs cooking like ox meat, which means that if you put bisra datura, if you will put basar hashor, if you put ox meat on the fire in a pot that's not on the fire on Shabbos, you won't be chayiv because it only cooks on the fire. So this yesh misha oser says the Gemara didn't really mean that you're allowed to put ox meat in a pot off the fire. Because ox meat, although the meat itself will only cook on the fire, it does have liquid in it, and that liquid will cook even not on the fire. Now, the Mechaber used the Lashon of Basar Meluach, salted meat. Says the Ramah, Hagav v'nira li, debelo meluach nami yaser. That even if this meat is not salted, that's going to be yaser. Ela denokat meluach, debelav achi yaser mishum dam shebo. The reason it says salted, because you cannot cook unsalted meat. It'll become treif. It'll become usr because it'll absorb its blood. So what he meant was kosher meat. So this is the first opinion. The first day in the Shulchan Aruch is following the shita that salt will only cook in a kli rishon al ha'esh. V'yesh osrim loses melach afilu b'kli sheni kolzman sheyatzo ledespo. And others, the other lashon in the Gemara is the other way around. It says that salt cooks so easily that even in a klisheni, so long as it's still yatsa lettuce, you couldn't put salt. V'hamachmir tova olav bracha. This is a lashon of the Rishonim. Tosfos says v'hamachmir tova olav bracha, which means that if you're machmir not to put salt into a klisheni, you get a bracha from the Rishonim. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says that with regard to tavlin, the Mechaber said that you cannot put tavlin in a kli rishon, even if it's off the fire. We had learned that the Gemara says the Mishnah says that you're allowed to put tavlin into a keli sheni. Tavlin is not kalei habishul. Tavlin is not something that cooks easily, so it will not cook in a keli sheni. The Mishnah Berurah here brings the daya that is only a liquid keli sheni. But let's say we're talking about putting salt on a hot piece of meat in a keli sheni, or a hot potato in a keli sheni, not salt, a tavlin. Spices. You'd like to put some. You'd like to put some pepper or paprika on your hot potato or on your chicken that's in a keli sheni. He says you cannot do that because we are choshish that a dover gush is a solid maintains its heat. Since the reason why a keli sheni is mutter, the Rishonim tell us, is because when you transfer the hot content of the pot into another pot, then the cold walls will cool it off. That doesn't go for a solid. The solid will retain its heat, and the fact that there are cold walls will not do anything to it, because a solid doesn't really cling to the keli. Now, with regard to salt, we said that salt is a toval of bracha of not putting it in a keli sheni. Says the Mishnah Brura, the salt we are discussing is mine salt. However, sea salt is cooked first, so it's already mavushal. If it's already mavushal, ein bishal achar bishal. The halacha is that there would not be any problem of bishal. So first, one really has to check the systems that are used for desalination today, where what they do is they will be able to separate the water from the salt from the water, and then market the water separately and the salt separately. The processes they use today do not necessarily call for heating up the water to that high a temperature. They can evaporate it without it becoming yad soled esbo. So lamaisa, one cannot assume that all sea salt today has already been cooked. Now, the Mishnah Brura brings the day of Rabbi Akiva Eiger that anything that dissolves in water is considered a liquid. So even if you have sea salt that has been cooked, putting that into a keli sheni would be problematic. Putting that into a keli rishon, excuse me, would be problematic, because what we would say is that even though it was cooked already, yesh bishul achar bishul balach, this is something liquid since it's going to dissolve into the water. And the fact that it was cooked already doesn't help you since it cooled off completely. The same would go for sugar. According to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, since sugar dissolves in water, even though the sugar has been cooked before, you could not go and put sugar into a keli rishon, because this is a keli rishon shelo ala esh, even though ein bishal achar bishal. But the problem is that it's considered a liquid that cooled down, a dover lach that was nitzdanein, there is bishal achar bishal. Now, the Mishnah Brura's maskani here is tovli zoher mikli rishon, which makes it sound like you have to be careful not to pour hot water from a kli rishon on to your salt or sugar. Now, with regard to salt, we say tovol of bracha even in a keli sheni. So therefore, if you want to add salt to something, you have to make sure it's not even in a keli sheni. It should be in a keli shlishi. This is for your tovol of bracha. The ikra din is its mutter, but if you want the bracha of the rishonim, with regard to sugar, what he's telling us is that sugar does cook in a keli sheni. However, sugar has been cooked before. The problem is Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that it's considered a liquid, so it's bishal achar bishal balach. Now, in a keli sheni, we already learned that there's no bishal achar bishal balach, but irui, pouring onto it, would still be usher, which means, according to this, you don't pour hot water onto your sugar, you put sugar into the keli sheni, where into the hot water that's already sitting in a glass. Rav Moshe Feinstein claims that the Mishnah Brura could not be doing this being choshish for Rav Akiva Eiger, because we'll later see that the Mishnah Brura does not paskin like him at all. He holds that even a dover yavish that is nimuach, a dover yavish that melts into water, is not considered a liquid, it's considered a solid. And we do say ein bishal achar bishal. And we'll see that a little later. So why is he being machmir? Rav Moshe writes that he's being machmir because most people don't realize that sugar has been cooked before. I mean, most people don't really know what the process is. All they know is that sugar comes in bags. They do not know that sugar actually started off in the cane and was boiled in order to crystallize it and was ground afterwards. People don't realize it. That as a result of that, Rav Moshe holds that the isser of pouring hot water onto sugar is as a gzeira because people don't know that it's been cooked. So lamaisa, if someone would like to put sugar into his coffee or tea on Shabbos, the halacha is, first pour your boiling water into that kli, and only afterwards put the sugar in. Now, with regard to coffee, there really is the question of how do you do that? Can you pour boiling water onto your coffee? Coffee has been roasted. The question is, when you pour boiling water onto it, do we have to be choshish for bishul achar tzli, that you're now cooking something that was roasted? So Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't seem to be machmir, although he said that he was machmir himself personally. However, many poskim are machmir. Rav Moshe considers the process of coffee bishul, because he says what they do is they boil it and boil it and boil it and boil it until all the water evaporates, and then they continue to heat it, and it turns into powder. In other words, what he says is that this is essentially a process of bishul. However, most poskim hold that once they continue heating it after the water is boiled away, we consider this roasting. And as such, we would be choshish for bishul achar tzli, even in a keli sheni. Therefore, although Rav Moshe permits it, most poskim say not to make coffee in a keli sheni, but really to make coffee into a keli, in a keli shlishi, which means pour your boiling water out into a glass, pour that into your coffee cup. And as far as adding sugar there, that would not be a problem in a keli shlishi, according to anybody. You can even add sugar to a keli sheni. Further in now, the Ramah says, Vim ovar v'nosan melach afilu b'kli rishon afilu hu al ha'esh. What happens if someone accidentally on Shabbos added salt to his cooking cholin, to his cooking chicken soup, on the fire? She'ovar isura, even though what he did was an isur d'oraisa, mutar hamachal. The Ramah says that doesn't answer the food. The hamelach bottle al gabi hamachal, because the salt is bottled to it. Now, why is it bottled? The halacha is that something that's made for flavor is not bottled, because you can always taste it. So where do you get bittel over here? The halacha is tam ki ikir. If there's something you can taste, it is not bottled. Some say that if you have shishim against it, even though you can taste it, it's only aser midrabanan, but it's mefurish that it's aser. Something that is made to give taste and you can taste it does not become bottle. So they answer that what we're talking about is that it already had salt, and you're just adding a little bit more to it. And the amount of salt that you added to it would not really have flavored this. This is just working to make the salt that you gave previously, it is supplementing it so that together, there will be taste. This is what's called zev zegorim, and then the halachi is, even though it's made for flavor, it is still bottle. Now, what happens if there was no salt and now you salted it for the first time? So the halachi is that it is aser. With regard to anything else that you put in a kli rishon. So the Mishneh Berurah brings down that there's another problem that we have here. The halachi is that davar sheyesh lo matirin is lo batal. If there's anything that becomes mutter at a different point without bittel, Chazal said not to rely on bittel. Do not be matter something by way of bittel if it becomes mutter at a later time without bittel. If that's the case, then over here, why is it batal? After Shabbos, you'll be allowed to eat it. So why not wait until after Shabbos? It should be usur for Shabbos, since it is edible after Shabbos without bittel. The answer is that in davar sheyesh lo matirin, we have a rule that if the isser mixed with it in a way that immediately it disappeared, meaning at the time it became usur, it did not have an identity of its own, it was mixed immediately, then the halach is it doesn't become a davar sheyesh lo matirin. This is a klal that we have in davar sheyesh lo matirin. Therefore, the Mishneh Berurah says that something that dissolves immediately, as in the case of salt, there we would not have a problem of davar sheyesh lo matirin. But if there's anything that you added to the soup or your cholent that doesn't dissolve immediately, that would aser the soup or the cholent until after Shabbos, because we would consider it a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Sif Yud. Aser litein tavlin bekara velaras aleim mikli rishon. Not only, so we had so far, putting food in a pot on the fire is obviously bishul daraisa. Putting food in a kli rishon that is off the fire is still bishul. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention it, but it's a machlokas haposkim if that's a daraisa or a derabanan. It seems like mi'ikra din we would hold that it could be a daraisa. It's a question of how you learn pshat in the Yerushalmi and whether or not the Bavli holds like the Yerushalmi as well. But many poskim hold that this is an issa daraisa, with the exception of salt mi'ikar adin, except that there's a tavel of bracha anyway. And now we have the question of iri kli rishon, if you pour from a kli rishon. So pouring from a kli rishon onto a tavlin, onto spices that have not been cooked before, that the Mechaber is telling us is still going to be bishul. And la halacha, we paskin, although it's a machlokas rishonim, we paskin that it cooks the outermost part of the food. It cooks kedei kalipa. It will not penetrate inside it, but it will cook the outer surface of whatever food it touches. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says that bidieved, we will only aser in a case of irui shalom nifsak hakiluach. The halacha is that there are two forms of iru. There are two ways you can pour. One way that you can pour where you're pouring continuously, so that whatever hits the food is still connected with a direct stream going all the way into the pot. That's called iru shalom nifsak hakiluach. That the Mishnah Berurah says is vadai aser, and that will aser even b'dieved if you poured in that way that the stream didn't stop. Directly onto raw food on Shabbos, you couldn't eat that until after Shabbos because the outer layer of it became cooked. But what happens if you gave a splash, which means that when it hit it, it was no longer connected to the pot that it came from? There we will say that even though it's also to do to begin with, b'dieved we will say that irui of nifsak hakiluach is not going to be able to aser anything. The Mishnah Berurah does point out that if you're dealing with something that was cooked or baked before, even though we're machmer, not even to put it into a keli sheni, since there's a machlokas if there's bishal achrafiyah or not, b'dieved we would not aser it. So that if someone poured from a keli rishon onto something baked or onto something that was roasted, the halach is we will not aser it b'dieved. And the Mishnah Berurah also says that in a keli sheni, we will not aser any of the food b'dieved, even though we are machmer l'chatchila for all foods, almost all foods, mechashash, that they are kalei abishul.